This is a Celtic Underground podcast. I am recording this at 32 minutes past midnight on Tuesday, the 28th of October. Early this evening, Ross Hall and I recorded a podcast after the Hearts game and sort of moved into academy and recruitment and various things. And we touched on manager, but not really any great shakes on that. And then when we finished the podcast, started getting a couple of messages through about have you heard anything about Brendan? And then that escalated rapidly to the point where after about 1,000 WhatsApp messages and two incredible statements, well, certainly one incredible statement from my Celtic, if you're just listening to this as you wake up, Brendan Rodgers has left Celtic Football Club. This is the podcast recorded at 11:30 through to 11:15 by Ross Hall and I this evening. It was started on the night of Monday the 27th. This is me, Harry Brady, saying, goodness gracious me, I hope you enjoy. There's a podcast that will be out after this podcast. So if you're watching it, the reason why Ross and I are still wearing the same clothes is because this one's actually that you, the listener and viewer, will be watching and listening to first. Actually was recorded after the other one. So you just said to me before we came on, Ross, what the fuck's happened? So I'll quickly tell you from my timeline of events, and I've sent you a link to this. Around about 2 o'clock today, I had a conversation with someone who said that Martin O'Neill was going to take over with Roy Keane as number two. And it reminded me of, I was about to go out on a Sunday night, and one of my brothers came in and said, apparently Morris Johnson signing for Rangers tomorrow. And I thought, what a load of nonsense. I went out on my Sunday night, and the next morning, queues of the newspapers because Morris Johnson signed for Rangers. It's a bit like that. I've got the timestamp to prove it on the WhatsApp message where I sent on a different chat to St Anthony. I know you love Martin O'Neill. How would you fancy him becoming caretaker manager at Celtic? And I was doing it as a joke because I thought there was no chance of it happening. And now I'm kicking myself that I didn't go and put money on it. So we recorded that podcast, Ross, and I came off two messages from someone saying, have you heard that Brendan Rodgers has gone? And within 20 minutes, Celtic announced that Brendan Rodgers had gone. So, what did you think? When did you hear?
This is really mad. Eddie Pearson of our group had posted some stuff online earlier on today that I think there was an article doing the rounds that Rodgers was potentially going to sign a one-year extension.
Yes.
But in the same post, Eddie had mentioned that he had heard that Rodgers would leave and it would be Martin O'Neill. And like you said there, it was one of those things where I'm thinking, it's that bizarre. It didn't even cross my mind to speak to you about it earlier on. I didn't think anything would happen until after the Rangers game. And obviously I'd nailed my flag to the mast. I'd said I felt we were in a spot where he should go. And I've said in our Substack chat, that's currently on fire. My phone is lighting up like a beacon right now.
Yeah, so my wife was getting annoyed. We did a podcast. I went to watch the telly. My wife was getting very annoyed with me because my phone was just going ping, ping, ping.
Exactly. I left our podcast, went and done bedtime stories, and literally came downstairs and then you had messaged. And I thought, Eddie had posted this earlier. And I genuinely, I never in a million years thought it would happen this way. I thought we'd get to the Rangers game. I thought it would be the international windows where I kind of thought would be the cut-off point. I thought that that's where something might happen, depending on how the results went up until then. And so like you, it's kind of like that. Even if you'd have said to me earlier on, I'd have just went, nah. Like, it's certainly not going to happen like this. And the statement that has come out from, and it's got a name on the bottom of it, Mr. Dermot Desmond. That is that's not just shots fired. That is that's someone's whipped out the bazooka with heat seeker and aimed it directly at your forehead and let rip. That is wow. I have no words for that.
I'll read the official club statement. Celtic Football Club can confirm that Football Manager Brendan Rodgers has today tendered his resignation. It has been accepted by the club and Brendan will leave his role with immediate effect. The club appreciates Brendan's contribution to Celtic during his two very successful periods at the club. Like that. That's one sentence with the word club in it mentioned twice. That grates with me. Anyway, which does imply that this has all been quite rushed this evening, because I don't think Ian Jameson would write that with the word club twice in the same sentence. Anyway, that's me and my being pedantic. Brendan leaves Celtic with our thanks for the role he has played during a period of continued success for the club, and we wish him further success in the future. The process to appoint a new permanent manager is underway, and the club will update supporters. We are pleased to confirm that Martin O'Neill and former Celtic player Sean Maloney have agreed to take charge of the first team matters. The details will follow shortly. So this is when we then get into schizophrenic Celtic mode. So that statement goes out at 9:44. We wish him all the best. Your traditional, oh well, we've gone our separate ways type thing, right? Then at 9:59, 15 minutes later, Brendan Rodgers has today tendered his resignation. Want to acknowledge Brendan's contribution. However, he's a bastard and I hate him. However, I must also express my deep disappointment at the way the past several months have unfolded. When we brought Brendan back to Celtic 2 years ago, it was done with complete trust and belief in his ability to lead the club into a new era of sustained success. Unfortunately, his conduct and communication in recent months have not reflected that trust. Then it goes on about how the club offered him a new contract in June. Blah, blah, blah. His later public statements about transfer and club operations came entirely out of the blue. Then it gets back to a conversation that you and I didn't have on the podcast, but had separate, and I had with someone else earlier today. Talks about how every departure and arrival was sanctioned by Brendan and approved by Brendan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's two sides to it. One of my favourite phrases in life is there's three sides to every story. There's your side, there's my side, and the truth is somewhere between those. Mm-hmm. Sometimes might be close to yours, sometimes might be close to mine. And not always are people deliberately lying. It's their perception of the way things are.
Perception of things.
Yeah. But, so for example, I always use somebody using this example to me that Timu Pukki was allegedly a Peter Lawwell signing. And no, Neil Lennon had signed him. And somebody, whether this is true or not, but somebody had said to me, yes, because Neil Lennon was offered the option of, do you want to sign Timu Pukki or do you want to sign nobody? And so he signed Pukki because his option was so.
That's a good one.
And Neil Lennon, now I'm not sure if that's true, but it's a great example of what I'm trying to imply, because if that was a true story, in Neil Lennon land, he didn't choose Timu Pukki. He needed a striker in, and that was the only one he was given. In the Peter Lawwell land, well, he did choose Timu Pukki. So, for example, Adam Eder. I'm led to believe that Brendan wanted a striker because Eder wasn't turning out to be the player he thought he could turn them into. And he wanted another striker. And we brought in Yamada and Osmond that the manager didn't rate. And it wasn't and so he was still looking for another striker. And then Swansea come in for Adam Eder, and Brendan has said all along, if I get a striker in, Eder can go. But in Brendan's head, he hasn't got a striker in because he doesn't rate Yamada and didn't want him and didn't rate Osmond. But if you're Celtic, well, you said Eder could go if you got a striker in, and we've given you two. So in both their heads, they're both right. Then offer comes in for Eder, just over £7 million with add-ons. And I'm led to believe that Paul Tisdale then says, I can get Dahlberg. And he'll cost us around £8.5 million. So effectively, will only cost us £1.5 million to get Eder out and Dahlberg in. And the Brendan said, brilliant. If you can get Dahlberg, then I'm fine for Adamida to go. And that the deal's progressed and progressed and progressed, and it's verbally agreed on Saturday night before the Rangers game. Brendan then says, right, all good to go for Adam to go to Swansea.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next morning, Dahlberg's people phone Celtic up and say, it's off. He wants to go to Amsterdam. Ajax have been in contact. His wife works in Amsterdam. That's where he wants to go. He doesn't want to sign for Celtic. I know we agreed the deal last night, but it's off.
Mm-hmm.
Then Brendan says, well, Adam can't go. And if you remember, on the morning of the Rangers game, the deal's allegedly off and he's coming back up the road. But then Brendan speaks to Adamida, who apparently has been getting phone calls from Snoop Dogg directly, saying, come, we're going to do an Amazon Prime or Netflix type programme. You're going to be the centre of it. Come to us. Ida then speaks to Brendan. It's clear as day that the guy's gone. If he's made to come back to Celtic, he's a waste of space. So Brendan then says, it's gone too far. Let's go. So if you're one side of that discussion, well, the manager said, yes, go. If you're the other side of that discussion, that's not how the manager would see it, or the ex-manager would see it.
I'm lost for words.
So this is what we know.
I agree that you've got two perspectives there, and I think you're always going to get... I don't believe that Rodgers, even though I'm not unhappy he's gone out, I've said, I think it was coming to that point anyway, but I don't believe that there's a situation where... I hated the term that he used, the club signings term, and that's in that statement. Desmond's fairly clear, he hammers him with that one, actually. I described it to my wife as running over him with a bus and then reversing and then driving back over. That, to me, is what that statement reads like, and that's one of the comments where he refers to the club signings and then he refers to he had overall control and overall say. And like you've explained there, I could see an idea where even if Rodgers didn't particularly want Osmond and Yamada, it's one of those where he recognises that the club have a certain strategy. Whether I agree with that strategy or not is kind of irrelevant. Where he has to accept that one or two players will come in that are done with a different idea in mind, where it's like, if we can develop them a wee bit, we might be able to flip them quickly and sell them on. But we are going to get you a more marquee type signing. We're going to get you a Dahlberg. We're going to get you, you know, a David Strelick or something like that. Mm-hmm. Someone that you want, but we need you to accept some of the things that we want. It's not a strategy I agree with. I think it totally messes with the structure of a squad. You end up with a bloated squad if it goes wrong, which is something that we do have right now. So yeah, those two worlds exist. The statement blows my mind. It's wild. Like, would you expect Celtic to release this? I thought it would be the polite, the first statement you read, it would be the polite, you know, thanks for your efforts. You know, you've done brilliantly, but we're going in a different direction. Maybe throwing in something about the fact that the uncertainty over his contract coming up at the end of the season, they felt now was the time, with no sign of that being resolved, that they would move in a different direction. I did not expect a statement to come out with Dermot Desmond's name on the bottom of it that is, it's savage.
Right. I'm just a silly wee businessman. Right. Never in a million years would I ever involve in behaving like that. I think that's unbecoming. A number of things. I think it's unbecoming. I think it's odd and completely grates against the club's official statement of 15 minutes earlier. I think it's peculiar because it's so at odds with the club statement of 15 minutes earlier. Mm. It looks like, you know, I always visualise things in my head. I visualise them all sitting around the boardroom right now. Ian Jameson's writing out what Michael and the board and Chris have said and Peter have said they should write. And Dermot's sitting there tapping his leg, getting more and more annoyed and saying, fuck off, give me that fucking computer. And then goes and types his own thing and sends it out. That's what that reads like. And that is, I think, a 34% shareholder then shouldn't be writing that, because it reads like a personal statement of the major shareholder. That's what that reads like.
It's very, very aggressive in its tone.
I mean,
it does read like an angry man.
Yeah, so then what it demonstrates is, the other thing that bugs me, or that I then wonder is, so they're saying that Brendan tendered his resignation, right? Again, was it clear? Is it as straightforward as that? So it's almost as if he's pissed off that Brendan's tendered his resignation and he didn't get to give him the bullet. It's almost as if he's written that because he's in a bad mood that Brendan's resigned and he wanted to sack him. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but almost like somebody going round and, you know, at school, somebody going round and telling everybody that, you know, I've chucked her. When actually it happened the other way around and she's then raging that she chucked him. So what we do know in terms of the management of the club going forward, in the short term, Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney are taking charge of the team. That the coaching staff, with the exception of Stevie Woods and Gavin Strachan, have all left tonight, or today, this afternoon. So the coaching staff for the game against Falkirk on Wednesday night, which we finished in a jolly fashion on the last podcast that people will hear after this podcast, the coaching staff will be Martin O'Neill, Sean Maloney, Gavin Strachan and Stevie Woods. Unless there's anybody elevated up from your favourite guy, Steve McManus.
Please God, no.
Is elevated up to assist the first team coaching staff for the Falkirk game.
Of Stevie Wonder. Yeah, it certainly sheds a different light on the Falkirk game. And it'll be interesting to see the dynamic between Martin O'Neill, who a lot of people are sending a message to in the rounds, where he makes a comment in an interview yesterday where he says Hearts can win the title. He obviously didn't have much faith in Brendan Rodgers either.
Hopefully
he has more faith in himself.
Well, his argument would be, I said that before I was in charge.
Yeah. Exactly, and so, you know, I think, I'm sure someone asked this question the other week there. It might have been Stephen in the group chat. Has there ever been a season where Celtic and Rangers have both sacked a manager? And the answer, as far as I'm aware, is no. Or, not sacked, resigned, where two managers have left in the same season. And I had a quick look as I was coming through, because you said, obviously, jump back on. I can't find anywhere in history where that's happened. And it's happened in the same month.
We need Matthew Marron.
Matter of weeks, yeah. Yeah, Matthew needs to...
We need to get history to come on
to cover this.
And do a specialist, have Celtic ever sacked. I mean, it's quite... So then the... Right, so what we know is this started this morning. And as far as I understand, it was completed by 3:30 this afternoon. Celtic haven't made, as far as I'm aware... Celtic haven't made, I'm just trying to look for the, because I sent it in another chat. Celtic haven't need to make an AIM Rule 11 in UK, or Celtic need to make an RNS, a statement through the RNS, which is the approved channel for listed companies, and failing to do it, and then Dermot's subsequent statement, bit of an issue, AIM Rule 11 in UK, MAR 17, as far as I understand, but somebody more informed on PLC corporate governance than me has made that statement. So I'm not quite sure. I just find it so peculiar that the club make the statement of the departure and it's Dermot Desmond, a 34% shareholder, who makes this, I fucking hate the guy, I chucked him first statement, not the chairman or the chief executive. It's a very personalised statement from Dermot, which...
I suppose anybody listening to this who hasn't read it, and there will be people who wake up tomorrow morning and they'll be like, what's going on?
They'll wake up the phone and just go bang!
Yeah, I suppose the most telling line in that whole statement for me is the declaration that says, in reference to Rodgers, his actions since they had their discussions in the summer have been divisive, misleading, and self-serving. And then he goes on to suggest that Rodgers' actions in many ways have resulted in consequences that have been to the detriment of people within the club and the board and so on and so forth. It is, like, the term shots fired do not do this statement justice. I don't... I'm trying to think. I've seen some maniac owners, shareholders in football before release some wild statements. Like the guy who's got Nottingham Forest, Marinakis, he strikes me as the type of guy who would release that statement. I could imagine Marinakis has sat there going, like, bravo, that is, you know, gun him down and leave him for dead. But I just never in a million years thought that would come out of Celtic.
So somebody shortly after that statement, a lawyer who works in football, said, that's actionable. He needs to substantiate all of that. To which my immediate reply was, he's got bigger pockets than anybody else. So the unedifying thing for me is he would not have made that statement if Brendan and the, had signed an NDA because the club would be party to the rules of the NDA, which means if you're Brendan, you can come back on this. And if I'm Dermot, if I'm going to make that statement, I need to be 100% certain that what I think happened in the summer actually happened in the summer. We discussed on the earlier podcast that the listeners will hear later about our guesses as to how information may not have flowed all the way up from the football division through the head of football operations out to the board in the way that the football division see things, that there might have been blockages and whatever. So make those statements. If that guess on things has any substance, then it's a bit of an issue for him, because he's basically said everything was hunky-dory and every reason, everything that went wrong in the summer transfer, more or less what he's saying is the whole summer transfer window is actually Brendan's fault. And then since then, Brendan's just made things worse. That's pretty much what he said.
He goes on to say, I met him in his home for 3 hours and he was unable to identify a single instance where the club had obstructed or failed to support him. The facts did not match his public narrative. Like every line within this statement, it's like a dagger. Every other line is literally a dagger or a gunshot. It's no mercy. And it will be interesting to see if Rogers replies and what that reply will look like and how it plays out over time, because ultimately, you know, no matter what happens tomorrow, Brendan Rogers is not the Celtic manager anymore.
Yeah.
Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney, and people are going to have to decide how they feel about that. And to me, I want to see the team win. Do I think this is the ideal scenario that's played out? No, I think it's in some ways, even though, again, I was open, I said Rogers to me should go, but the scenario in which this has happened is comical in some ways. And what impact that will have going forward, time will tell. It's impossible to predict because there's nothing about this to me that is playing out the way I would have expected it to. I thought it would be the initial statement, polite, thanks for your time, blah, blah, we're moving on, you're moving on. Leave it open because potentially it might be a number in the phone book that in a couple of years' time they probably look to go back to again because we do like that phone book. I think it's safe to say he's probably been deleted from the Celtic WhatsApp group. But then not just that, there's the fact that what we've learned afterwards with Kennedy gone, did not see that coming. With the coaches going, who's some of the names I remember, some of them I forget, sorry.
Adler. Adler is the assistant manager.
Yeah, it's Adler, Kennedy, Jack Lyons, Jack. And someone Driscoll, whose name escapes me. It's late at night. All gone as well. Like, all that to happen in such a short space of time. I don't think anybody would bet any money on it playing it this way.
So I know how much John Kennedy is respected within Celtic. I know how much Peter Lawwell respects John Kennedy. So we're looking from the outside in. We do not know everything that's gone on. And if we do, it will be from one side or the other. What I would say is, based on my point about John Kennedy, how well he's respected and things like that, John Kennedy's departure implies to me that he certainly sees himself as being in the Brendan Rodgers camp of where this is falling. I'm not then saying that, or maybe he just perceives that now's the time to go, that he's been around Celtic long enough. He doesn't want to be there again like he was in the centenary season. You know, maybe I'm reading too much between the lines, but I'm surprised at the Kennedy one So yeah, then it moves on to potential replacements.
This is a question actually, I haven't read every single thing that's popped up because it seems to be happening almost by the minute. Mm-hmm. They never put a timeline on Martin O'Neill or Sean Maloney. They've not said end of the season, have they?
No, I don't think. Right.
They just said interim.
Yes. I think they might already be speaking to someone.
Because even if we consider the fact, if they'd have said end of the season, it makes January very awkward. January was going to be awkward regardless of how it was done anyway. Because Brendan Rodgers was in a position where you're going to a player and you're saying, we want you. And ultimately you go to a player and say, we talk about 3-4 years. And that player and their agent will be looking and going, but you might not be my manager in 6 months. And so that, I literally wrote an article this afternoon that I'm going to have to bin that was about the pros and cons of Brendan Rodgers being here in January and how the transfer window could potentially play out, because it could be such an important window in how it would determine our season as to what we do or don't do. But before you look at what players you're going to sign, you have to consider what the pros and cons and how you sell that to the player. If we get to January without a new manager, we're trying to buy or loan, likely loan a player, if it's Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney, because unless there's some situation where Martin O'Neill stays on longer, which I think seems unlikely, I don't think it'd be all that well received. You've still got the same problem. You've got an interim manager and you're left with loan options or very short-term deals.
So I'm just trying to catch up on messages that are coming in as we are speaking. Yeah. So apologies for people for the noise. I know it's annoying. I'm trying to find a way to stop the noise. So the football-y, lawyer-y person, when they said, can't believe the Dermot statement, it's fully actionable. Wow. I replied saying, well, he's got deep pockets. This person's reply saying, he better have. Wow. So that's on that side of things. Somebody else has also agreed with me about potential breaches by the major shareholder making this statement, being allowed to make this personal statement before any, certainly before any announcement to AIM in the morning. Again, the person's then come back and said, I've reread that statement. It's insanity. So that's that. On the football side of things, all the stuff, I'm just trying to catch up on stuff. My guess is that we are quite happy it's happened now and that we already have an idea of who's replacing them. And otherwise you would have just gritted your teeth and got through. So why do it so early? Why do it now? There's another international break coming up in a couple of weeks, is there not? Is it not another November international break?
Yeah, we've literally got, I think we've got 2-3 games and then it's an international break.
Yeah, so
there's a gap now and then St Mirren on the 22nd, which is when a lot of the injured players are expected to be back.
Yeah, so you would have just waited until that international break. So my gut feel is, I know Brendan's resigned in the thing, but my gut feel is that, as I say, he got in and chucked Dermot before Dermot chucked him. Now, if that's all the case, pretty certain we've spoken to someone already. Because we need someone in charge to take charge of the Falkirk game and the Rangers game. And I think there'll be a new Celtic manager in place before the game after that, whenever that would be. I need to look at my calendar.
Just quickly looking it up.
Yeah, so do we have one?
So we have got
Falkirk. Nothing on Bonfire Night. Yeah, so our next game after
European game.
We're away to Michelin. I'm not sure if we'll have somebody in place before Michelin.
And then Kilmarnock. And then there's the gap.
And then Kilmarnock. And then there's the gap, yeah.
So from the 9th of November until the 22nd of November is the 2-week window.
So obvious candidate that the press will talk about is Ange. Because he's free.
Mm-hmm.
But again, my understanding is, and again, this gets back to the Kennedy thing. Dermot was pissed off when Ange left. The way he left. And Ange wanted to take John Kennedy with him to Spurs. And Dermot blocked it. So that's the thing about Kennedy leaving now. And the irony obviously was that Ange then went and took Davis, who was normally Brendan's number two. And then Brendan comes and keeps Kennedy. So there'd be Ange at the press who would talk about other candidate who's Irish and was talked about for the Man United job. And we looked at before we were speaking to Eddie Howe, is McKenna at Ipswich.
Yep. You've got Robbie Keane at Ferencvaros, although some people are not keen on his CV and the countries he's been in.
That would go down well.
Marco Rose is one whose name has appeared in relation to us before. He's obviously free at the moment as well. The other one that some people thought it might have been, who will be the assistant in this scenario, is Sean Maloney, which I don't think will happen, but I think that's just one of those things that people...
It's not going to be Sean Maloney.
Like to throw about.
Because you would just appoint him. You would just appoint him now.
Well, I honestly thought you're always going to get an interim manager these days. It's very rare that a club sacks someone and then appoints someone. Unless they're doing it in a very chaotic fashion, which is not an enforced scenario. I thought that Sean Maloney would be interim manager for like a period of a couple of weeks, maybe a game or two. But I never ever thought he was going to be someone who they would appoint as manager. I just think it's one of those situations that...
It was never going to be Maloney.
Too awkward a sell to the support. I suppose the question I would have is, how do you think this is going to go down with the support? Because ultimately, people asked for decisive action and communication. I don't know if it's what decisive action. It's communication, not what I would expect. But Maloney and O'Neill.
Games results. Was it to say goals change games and results change perceptions?
Mm-hmm.
If we win our next two games, people will be calmer.
Yeah.
In fact, depending on the timing of the new manager, it may well be that Maloney and Martin O'Neill are in charge to the international break. Four games. Say we win those four games. Then people will have a very different outlook and view. Say we play those four games and then get in a sexy name. And I'm not saying this will happen. People will be different. The opposite is, we don't beat Falkirk and lose to
Rangers
and pitchforks at the door for Dermot specifically, because he stuck his name on that statement. You're Dermot, right? You bring in Brendan, who you know is demanding.
Mm-hmm.
But he's demanding because he wants the best, so you're okay with that. And he demands to get a head of football operations. You then go, here's a guy for you. Look at his track record. He found Watkins at Villa, and you get Paul Tisdale. And then, so in your perception, you've given him what he wants. Right? And then all he does is whinge about the players that guy's given you. You start to then think, he is never fucking satisfied. Right? And I'm not defending this, I'm just saying, if you see from his perspective. And then the fans start giving you grief. And the feedback you're getting from Paul Tisdale is, he was presenting decent players and the manager was just going, no, no, no. The feedback you're getting from Paul Tisdale is, Negrin's a quality player. Yamada's a quality player. Here's all his stats. Inamura, brilliant backup left back. And the manager just point blank refused to play these players without even looking at them for more than 5 minutes. You're then getting even more annoyed. Then the fans turn on you and you're thinking, I'm paying this guy a couple of million quid. I gave him money last season on players that he's then sat on the bench in big games. He asked for a head of football operations and I brought one in. He told me he liked the guy. Then the guy's telling me that he's knocking back every player that gets recommended. Then he tacitly approves of Ballot Wishart's been Brendan signing and he pesters the club for 18 months to sign him and then doesn't play him. The manager said he liked Tonetke. And now is criticising him. He said he liked Negrin and now is criticising him. And this Yamada guy, Paul Tisdale, who we all like, says is a great guy. And Inamura, Tisdale says, could be a great left back. All Brendan done has whinge. We've given him the players. He's been given players that he's rejected. And then the transfer window comes and goes and he chucks us all under the bus so that the fans are now holding their money back. They're not spending the money on the brand new Adidas contracts, which makes us look like fannies. They're asking me to chuck money into the club. Hey, I spent £30 million buying shares in the bloody club and they still criticise me because I've not spent enough. And this guy... And then the final straw is, I want to go and play golf at St Andrews. I won it last year on the celebrity side of things. I love my golf. And I've had to then step away because the police have told me it's not safe because of what that prick has been saying. That's how I perceive Dermot seeing it. I disagree, but that may well be how he's seeing it. So then when Brendan then, he's thinking, right, he's not going to beat Rangers and I'll get my chance and I'll fire him. And then Brendan turns up and says, I want to leave. He's raging, absolutely raging.
I am going to re-emphasise the point of Brian was making a point of he's in the head of Dermot Desmond,
yes,
not his opinion.
This is not me. Anybody who listens to this knows how much I think that the biggest shame of all of this is we had a fantastic manager who only came back to achieve something in Europe and we didn't give him the tools to do the job. He took us to within 10 seconds of taking Bayern Munich to extra time in last season's Champions League. What I was looking for, I accepted this, regardless, this may well have been his last season. And I just thought Celtic could just go, do you know what, Brendan? We've got 80 million quid in the bank and a big chunk of that is down to you. We are going to blow it on a party. And that party is, we are going to blow it on having a go to just have that one final go for you in the Champions League, because so much of it stems from what you did in your first spell and now this spell. Let's go for it. That's what I was looking for. And we didn't do it. But, so what I've just said about Dermot is, this is me trying to see, that's because that's my prejudice about it. My point about there's three sides to every story. Dermot's truth is somewhere else, patently.
And he signed it off with a statement that will likely go down in history.
It will. I mean, so there's
both
two parts
club,
of my brain.
Club and legal.
Yes. There's two parts of my brain reading this. There's a part of my brain that's like, you know, we're a huge club playing European football with a fantastic opportunity to spend money in as you want it. We give a lot more authority to a football manager than most modern clubs do, as we talked about in the earlier podcast that will be going out after this one. We give more authority to modern. I look at it from one side of you thinking, for a lot of managers, this is a great job. You get more authority over football decisions than you might do in other clubs, in part because of our lack of decent structure, but you're going to get that. There is another part of me saying that people are going to look at their job going, wow, the fans are an uproar, because the agent will advise, the fans are really happy just now. And gee whiz, I've rarely seen a statement like that from a manager.
Shareholder.
And this guy's not even the owner. So there's two ways I look at it. It could put people off or people could be completely oblivious to it because the job's more important. What's your thoughts?
I think it'll depend on how many zeros are on the end of the check. And, yeah. You know, we discussed this again in the podcast that got there. Football is chaos. There's a lot of logic goes out the window in football. Ultimately, people will see what they want to see at times, and that includes people who see an opportunity, and sometimes they'll see an opportunity and they will ignore anything that's gone before. We've seen it in Govan.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen, you know, people step into that job and go, this is a big job. This is an opportunity for me to make a real impression on a stage that'll elevate me, and it doesn't work out. But someone else will always come along. The quality.
Maybe Stevie G turned down the Rangers job because he knew this Celtic job was coming.
Jeez, I don't know who would be more upset, them or us. That would be a.
He would unite Glasgow.
The security detail alone would cost a fortune, I would have thought.
Yeah, you've got to laugh.
But yeah, no, I think it's one of those where you get away with something like this maybe once. This sort of reaction once. I think if it was a common theme, which it's not been with Celtic over the years, manager departures have usually been fairly amicable, even in situations where, you know, look at Neil Lennon, where it was like, you know, people wanted his head on a stick for a long period of time before he went, and ultimately it was amicable. Look at him now. He's still, you'd imagine he's still on the payroll the way he speaks. But yeah, I think you get away with this situation once, and I think people will overlook it and just move on. I don't see it being an issue. However, if I was an agent of a manager coming, I'd probably be wanting to push the point of, you know, we're unsure, up the number a wee bit, and that level of uncertainty may well disappear. the same as it would with a player. I wonder how I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and feel about all this. Because I think that was what I said to a lot of people in the Substack, is it's one of those where it's important that we give a reaction, but I wonder what my reaction would be if we were doing this tomorrow morning. I wonder what everybody else's reaction will be when they wake up tomorrow morning and the realization that this sort of chaotic evening that started, what, about 3 hours ago? The way it's played out, it's not quite a where were you moment, but it's not far off it.
Yeah, it's not far off it. I mean, the ones I vividly remember are, you're too young for this, Boris Johnson. I mean, it's the days before internet, mobile phones, all of these things. So my oldest brother was out in town meeting someone, and I think it was the Hilton or the Albany Hotel. Anyway, he hears journalists in the Sun talking his copy down the phone, and then phones the house, speaks to me and says, and he's less into football, if any of us, says, Boris Johnson signing for Rangers tomorrow. And I'm like, bullshit. And just ignored him, and then went out Sunday night. And then the next day, genuinely, there was queues outside John Menzies in Argyle Street. You couldn't get near. It was the Sun had a world exclusive. You couldn't get near it. It was an enormous story. Next one I remember was Rangers going bust. You knew it was likely to happen. And I'm sitting in a meeting, myself and a colleague and somebody else. It was a meeting, it was in Livingston. It was a really sunny day. And my case was behind me and my phone was in my case. And all I could hear was, my phone's on silent, but it's buzzing. So all I could hear was going. And I was sitting there thinking, that's them and they've gone bust. My colleague that I was with, not so much into football, walk out and he's like, what the hell is going on with your phone? And I said, I think Rangers have just gone bust. And pull it out. It's in that category.
Yeah. Yeah, in football in terms, and in the club's history, especially for me, the Boris Johnson, I was too young. Rangers got bust, I remember. It was Valentine's Day. I don't think there's anything that my girlfriend at the time could have let me do to her that would have made me happier than that moment. But hey, oh.
Goodness.
But yeah, no, this is going to be up there. And again, it's not because he's left. It's going to be the way that it's played out is going to be the thing I think that people will remember more than anything else.
Do you know the only
we'll
thing,
see how it plays in a Falkirk.
The only thing about it is a twofold thing. It's a bit like when he left last time. All the stuff that I remember from different people in the summer before, I knew he was leaving. So when he left, it wasn't a major shock because I knew it was just coming the minute it was appropriate to leave. I suppose my attitude tonight is, and like you say, it may be different in the morning, I suppose my attitude tonight is I'd resigned myself to, like, I think Brendan's a great manager. I do not think we will, in my lifetime, have a manager of a better quality than Brendan Rodgers at Celtic. Or certainly I can't see his replacement being a manager of better quality than Brendan. And my expectation when he came back was this was a brilliant thing because I knew he would only ever come back if we were going to give it a go in Europe. So we must have promised him that was going to happen. But after the summer, it wasn't going to happen. And so the only thing is, in the last couple of weeks, after the Dundee game, the way he spoke after the Dundee game, I thought, wow, you hate the board and the, or certainly people on it. And there are people on it who hate you. I had a conversation with someone who knows people on the board this past week. And he was telling me stuff that I thought, right, okay, that's actually what certain people on the board think. And I thought, there's no relationship between Brendan and the board. None. Which then got me thinking, how the hell are you going to sit through an AGM together? Because you did this. So the only positive for me out of tonight, it's a bit like when St Mirren scored. I remember sitting, my boy had been born. My wife had an emergency section and then a couple of things had gone wrong. So she'd had to be back in hospital for 10 days after he had come out. And I'd had to look after him on my own. And then got him back and he had terrible colic. And I remember he's got terrible colic. My wife's done in. He's sitting on my knee thrown up, and I'm watching on a really shitty screen, a really shitty stream, St Mirren beating Celtic, scoring four goals, and my under Mowbray. My only consolation that night was, this result's so bad, we'll sack him in the morning. And my only consolation tonight is, it was really clear after the Dundee game that there was zero relationship between Brendan and the board. Who at fault? We'll never know the full stories, like I say, truth. And so the only consolation is that plaster's been ripped off quickly, if that's the case.
Yeah, I think sooner rather than later is better. There's no point in dragging it on until January or February and then going through a transfer window and trying to navigate all the problems that were going to come with it. I think it is better that it happens sooner, now, what's happened, and we'll see what the fallout is.
Yeah, so who do you see? Who do you want as the next Celtic manager? If the 7.5 billion people on the planet, I need you to name one person. And right now,
I don't know. And it's late. And I'm tired. Rubbish. And do you know the one they say, and it says it in the article that was written, is if you want an up and coming young coach or a coach that has got any ambition in football nowadays, you have to accept that they are trained to be in the sort of structure that we've described. This aligned system where there is loads of checks and balances between the manager to a director of football or head of operations, whatever you want to call them, to the board, to the major shareholders, and that everybody is on the same page. And that the moment that any of those relationships become fractured, that they deal with it as opposed to letting it become a problem that stews, leaks to the press, you get to the end of a transfer window and, you know, you have the situation that is exactly what was played out, which was the reason why I never wanted Rodgers to come back in the first place. It wasn't because he's not a good manager. It wasn't to do with anything like that. It's why I don't particularly like the idea of Ange coming back. Is you've got a pre-written narrative.
You know where he's going to finish.
Somewhere down the line, it's going to play out that way. And when you've got people who have already had clashes previously, that is always highly likely to come out. So whether it was between Rodgers and Peter Lawl, or, you know, maybe there's been something harbored between Rodgers and Desmond for what went on last time. And it's kind of like, you know, we think we've got through it. And we think that, you know, for Rodgers' point of view, 3 million a year will make me comfortable enough in a situation that I'm never going to be entirely comfortable in. Who knows? As you say, the truth will be somewhere in between. And maybe the same for Desmond of, you know, we need someone that we can rely on. I think I can see past a problem that I had previously. And then eventually something happens down the line. He goes, actually, do you know what? This guy really is a pain in the arse. The outcome becomes inevitable. So to me, if I was going forward, if we're not going to sort out the structures in the club and we need someone who's good at recruitment, then it needs to be a manager who's probably a wee bit older, who has a background and a proven record of being not only good as a manager, but good as a recruiter. If we're going to adapt and we're going to be true to what Desmond's saying we are, which is the structured, well-run club, which I personally don't believe. But if you're going to have that structure and you're going to do it properly, not just get your mate in that someone's recommended off the golf course to be part of it, then you can go for a younger manager who has basically been educated to put themselves in that structure. And there are more of those nowadays than there are of your Ange Postecoglous or your Martin O'Neills or guys like Brendan was previously, who want to come in and want to have their hand in everything. We said it in another podcast. Managers just don't have the time for that anymore. Football is too big for them to be hands-on in every area. And so that's why the structure is important. And that's why choosing someone and saying, that's the guy, is difficult. Because most of the guys I would pick have been brought up in the structure where it's someone else does the recruitment. They have a say. They have an input. They will set the profiles and say, you know, I want a left-back who can invert, or I want a defensive midfielder who's got really strong defensive traits but high sprint output, high ground coverage. They will set all those things. Or you have a manager like Ange who comes in and goes, I need him, him and him, and I'll be accountable for what they become. But there's less of him than there is of the other.
I think we will go for someone who will play some of the younger players. And I think the biggest shame for me is that the reason Brendan hasn't worked out is because he's too ambitious for Celtic.
Maybe. Or anyway. Maybe his ego's too big.
Anyway.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Can we go to bed now?
Yeah, an hour ago I said let's jump on for 15 minutes.
57 minutes later. Yes. That's all right. You know, I'd have probably been awake sort of thinking about this. And as I say, even since we've been on, my phone's gone 10 to dozen. Our Substack chat is going absolutely crazy. And I've got mates messaging and...
Yeah. So we will go and I'm going to go and get this out just now. And things may have changed by the time people are listening to this on Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
So we play Falkirk.
And I apologise. I've had some sniffles throughout this, but it's late at night and I tend to get a bit of a blocked nose before I go to bed. So
we play Falkirk.
Apologies in advance.
The press conference for the Falkirk game is supposed to be at Lennox Town at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Let's see if that happens. That'll be interesting. Anyway, enough of me. I better say we'll go and I'll try and get this up. And the podcast that we recorded earlier will be up after that.
Cheers for the trophies, Brendan.
Cheers.
Bye. Brendan.
Thank you. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision. And also subscribe to thecelticunderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.